The Metropolitan Opera in New York presented its first world premiere in 25 years last month, The Ghost of Versailles, composed by John Corigliano with a libretto by William H. Hoffman. The production is running through January 10th. This Saturday afternoon, it will be featured on the Met's weekly live radio broadcast. Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz saw the production and has a review.
In the Met's first season at Lincoln Center 25 years ago, it produced two new operas, Antony and Cleopatra and Mourning Becomes Electra. But it's put on no other new work until just last month. The press has eaten it up, and despite the Met's queasiness about modern music, The Ghosts of Versailles has been a box office hit. It's nearly 4 hours long and extremely complicated, surprisingly trendy and postmodern. Fictional characters mingle with historical personages. There's even an opera within the opera. The plot revolves around Beaumarchais, the 18th-century French playwright who wrote the original versions of The Barber of Seville and The Marriage of Figaro. He's in love with Marie Antoinette, whose ghost is still very stressed out about what happened to her during the French Revolution. Beaumarchais thinks he can go back and change history by writing a new opera in which his greatest character, Figaro, will rescue Marie Antoinette from the guillotine. Then Beaumarchais and Marie Antoinette can escape to Philadelphia. It doesn't work out. The music is full of quotations. Here's Gino Quillico singing Figaro's new tongue-twisting aria, which seems like a cross between the famous Largo al Factotum from Rossini's Barber of Seville and Frank Sinatra's That's Life. The Met has given The Ghosts of Versailles a spectacular production, with moving scenery, rear-screen projections, characters floating in the air, and all sorts of other pyrotechnics. James Levine's high-octane conducting energizes and sometimes drowns out some wonderful singers. Thérèse Estrades is deeply touching and in, shall we say, hauntingly beautiful voice as the ghost of Marie Antoinette. Håkon Haegegaard, who played Papageno in Ingmar Bergman's film of The Magic Flute, is a very sympathetic Beaumarchais. Diva Marilyn Horne appears briefly in an utterly irrelevant scene that parodies the 18th-century mania for Turkish music. She makes it a hilarious, if somewhat tasteless, star turn. The one number you leave the theater humming starts out as a love duet for Cherubino and Rosina, then turns into a love quartet when Beaumarchais and Marie Antoinette join in. John Corigliano is a brilliant orchestrator, but in this opera his music relies too heavily on parody. Besides Mozart and Rossini, you can hear Richard Strauss, Stravinsky, Bernstein, and a lot of Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm not sure how many of these references are intentional. The opera is way too long. The comedy bogs down in melodrama. The pseudo-profundities and pop psychology are a lot more pretentious and really cornier than anything in Madame Butterfly. For example, Marie Antoinette concludes that the answer to the problems of history is that we must all forgive one another. The Met itself apparently wanted a bigger, grander opera than the composer originally intended. All the pressure of that 25-year hiatus between new works was surely counterproductive. At least The Ghosts of Versailles proves the public is curious about new opera, or maybe that they're just getting tired of the same old stuff. I hope The Met won't take another 25 years before its next world premiere.
Lord Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. The radio premiere of The Ghosts of Versailles is this Saturday afternoon on the Metropolitan Opera's weekly live broadcast. The excerpts we heard were from a dress rehearsal.